Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago. After his passing, I struggled a lot, especially when trying to connect with people about my grief.
I created Teen Grief because I've always wanted a resource that dealt with the specific pain I feel as a teenager. That desire for support and the realization that others may feel the exact same way is what inspired me to create this podcast. I hope that my questions for the experts and guests answer some of yours. This is Teen Grief.
Today I'm speaking with Dr. Kenneth Doga, who is a professor emeritus, the College of New Rochelle, and senior consultant to the Hospice Foundation of America. He is also a prolific author, and in addition to the many, many books he has written, he has published over 100 articles and book chapters. Dr. Doga has been presented with many awards for his achievements and contributions to multiple fields, including grief counseling, end-of-life care, and education. Dr. Doga, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
I'm honored and delighted.
My first question for you is, what are the main differences between adolescent grief and other ages? How can teenagers themselves deal with those differences?
Well, I think there's a number of factors that make grief a little bit more complicated when you struggle with it in adolescence. First of all, I think adolescents are, it's part of a time of identity formation. So adolescents are kind of discomfortable with differences. You remember when you were an adolescent, you always wanted to make sure you were wearing what everybody else was wearing and doing what everybody else was kind of doing. And when you're grieving, you kind of feel that the world is looking at you and judging you because that's a normal aspect of adolescence. I think another problem with adolescents is that they have a more limited ability to seek support from adults. Part of emerging independence is you don't want to be running to your adults when the adult presence is in your life whenever something goes wrong. So the result is that they tend to deal with their grief alone. And they, their discomfort with differences makes it unlikely that they're going to broadly reach out to peers, but they may have a peer or two that they talk to. Mm-hmm. When my son was about 9 years old, he'd come up to me, he'd sit on my lap, and immediately I knew there was a problem, and I'd ask him about it. And then when he was an adolescent, the only way I knew there was a problem is he'd walk in the house and slam the door to his room. Yeah. I knew something was wrong. Even peer support has its limits. We did an interview once with a group of adolescents and focus groups, and we talked about how much support do you get from your peers? And the basic message we got from these adolescents was that our peers want to hang out. They want to have fun. They want to enjoy themselves. They don't want to constantly be down with you talking about your loss, maybe once, maybe twice. But beyond that, you don't want to bring everybody down. Mm-hmm. And of course, the other thing is part of adolescence is forming identity. And because of that, one of the questions that adolescents ask is what do I believe? So it's a time of spiritual questioning. So while the younger child will say, I know grandma's in heaven, the teenager will say, I wonder if there is a heaven. I wonder if grandma's there. I wonder what happens. So they don't get the same support from their faith system as younger children might.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. And I definitely resonate with that. When a teenager is struggling with not really feeling like they can reach out to their peers and the disconnect between their parents and dealing with their faith, like, what are ways that they can cope even though they have those issues?
Well, I think there's two things. And the first is that, and this is not just for adolescents, we should all ask, what helps me get through crises in the past?
Mm-hmm.
And, what have I done that, what are my strengths? What are my coping strengths? Whatever they are, and a lot of times people say, well, adolescents probably haven't dealt with loss. And that's probably true. It's usually a kind of almost for many people, a death-free zone. Their parents are still relatively young. If they experience loss, it's likely to be traumatic, out of order deaths or accidental deaths of peers, things of that nature. But you can always say, well, you probably broke up with boyfriends or girlfriends. You probably were broke, and that's a loss. You've experienced disappointments in your life. What are the kinds of things that helped you get through those? And how can you use those now? And then when I'm also talking with adolescents, I'll ask if they have somebody a peer that they can share with, or if there are any adults that they can be comfortable with. So I think it's helping them to identify their strengths, both the internal strengths that they have, and then the external strengths as well.
Got it. And if you are that peer or that family member or another member of a teenager's support system, how can you address the teenager and get through to them and help them through their grief?
Well, you don't get through grief. You learn to live with grief. Mm-hmm. And I think what you do in those situations is you just listen and let them ventilate, let them verbalize, help where you identify that they have needs for help. Sometimes one of the things that works very well with adolescents is going on the internet to look for information, but you have to be careful that it's good information and right information. Mm-hmm. Finding books, you know, a lot of books for adolescents that deal with grief, and this allows them to dose their exposure, so to speak, you know, to say, okay, I'm going to read a chapter today. Today, I'm not going to read a chapter. I'm feeling good. I don't need to bring myself down. So help them find mechanisms.
Got it. And if the person that you're trying to help is one of those people who likes to kind of lock themselves in their room and hide away from the world, even though they need the support, are there ways that you can get through to them?
I think the hardest lesson, and I always, when I taught counseling students, I used to say the hardest lesson is to see people who need counseling. That's probably the kid who needs it most, the kid who locks himself mm-hmm. in his room. But you can't force people into it. Mm-hmm. People have to make a decision that I need to do something. And all you can do is encourage them to say, you know, is this really how you want to spend the next 5 days, the rest of the summer, just sitting in your room and sobbing or sitting in your room and sulking? Maybe there are ways, maybe I can help you. Maybe there are ways that other people can help you. Maybe I can help you identify who can help you. Mm-hmm. But, the person has to, the role of counseling is you have to make a decision. One of the things that we talk about as counselors is informed consent, that, you know, that the person has to say, yeah, I'm willing to undergo this activity. And sometimes when adolescents are dragged to counseling, that doesn't always work. But I always tell that adolescent, try it. You know, and I usually, when I have adolescents in counseling, I usually try to give them a quick insight or a quick coping mechanism so that they all of a sudden say, well, maybe this guy can teach me something. It's worth listening. But you ultimately, you know, I've also had adolescents who sat there and stared at me for an hour. Mm-hmm. And answered me in monosyllables. People have to be willing to accept help before you can give help.
Got it. And what are some of those self-help quick coping mechanisms?
that would depend on the adolescent. In one adolescent, this wasn't a grief situation, but it was an adolescent who was struggling. It was an interesting story. He was he was mandated into counseling from the juvenile court because at 12 years old, they all went into a friend's liquor cabinet, and he really was so drunk he almost had to have his stomach pumped. So he was sent to the hospital. Skinny little 12-year-old. I don't know how much liquor it took to get him there, but it was more than he could handle. And he was very reluctant. You could see he was very reluctant to go into counseling. And the first question I asked him is, it sounds like you. How do you, and he came from a house with a lot of conflict, and I knew that from the court reports, a lot of dissension between mother and father, and so basically the first question is, how do you get through your day? And he said, when my parents start arguing, I put on my headphones, and I just turn them on, the music on loud. And he had a uncle who was a very supportive presence in his life. And he said, on weekends, mostly I go over to my uncle's house. This weekend, his uncle was at a conference and he couldn't take him. And he said, and I said, well, look at what you're doing. I said, your strategy is to escape. Escaping to your uncle's house is is really good. His uncle was a very supportive presence in his life. Escaping into music isn't bad. Escaping into liquor, that didn't work out well for you, did it? And, you know, and once he kind of said, oh, yeah, that's I never thought that they were all the same. You know, they were all the same strategy. So it's sometimes that, you know, the kid gets an insight, or you can say, well, you know, when you're really angry, you know, go punch a punching bag or a soft toy rather than your little sister. You know, it's those kinds of things you can help them identify what really works for them.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other most common ways of dealing with grief that teenagers have besides escaping?
Oh, well, you know, the same as adults, you can name it. Some people will, you know, will find it useful to join support groups, adolescent support groups, and they'll be able to ventilate. Some people will find it useful to do a project or something that is in memory for them. You know, I had a adolescent who decided that he was going to build a birdhouse after his grandmother died, because his grandmother loved to feed the birds. So he decided he was going to put something small in the backyard. You know, we have myriad ways of coping. There's not, and that's of course the thing, there's no magic bullet, there's no one answer. Mm-hmm. It's asking you yourself the question, what has tended to work for me in the past? What are my coping strengths? What are the strengths of the people around me? How can I use them?
Got it. That's very helpful. When you're talking to teenagers and when you're talking to their parents, what's the most important thing that you try to impress upon them about dealing with grief?
Well, I try to impress a couple of things on them. One, it's an individual process. We all grieve in our own way. How we experience it, how we express it, what helps us. So there's no one way of doing things. And, you know, and sometimes parents will say, you know, well, you know, Tom never cries. And I wish he would cry for his father. His father died. I know he loved his father. Mm-hmm. And the answer is that Tom has to find his own way. And I would ask Tom, what are you doing? He might say, I used to like to shoot hoops with my dad. And whenever I go out and play basketball, I think about him. You know, it's helping people respect that they grieve, that their experience is different, their expression is different, and what they need to do to help is different.
Thank you. Dr. Doka, thank you so much for your time and your insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief.